Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Burke Allen Show. No subject is off limits as Burke talks with entertainers, authors, speakers, and everyday Americans about the subjects that matter to you. Be a part of the program now by calling 718-506-1944. 718-506-1944. Or instant message your messages direct to our studio. Now, from his top secret broadcast bunker in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., award-winning broadcaster, Burke Allen.
Now that's an introduction. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, it's Burke Allen, and thanks for listening on this sunny Thursday morning. Fat people. Is that a politically incorrect term? Dr. Michael Applebaum says not so much. And as a matter of fact, as I read through Dr. Applebaum's information here, it seems that A, he doesn't like fat people, and B, he really doesn't like fat kids. So we're going to have him set the record straight and also tell us about something called the Gourmet-O-Matic. Dr. Michael Applebaum joins us on WAMS. Say, doctor.
Burke, how you doing?
Now, is this correct? Do I have this correct? You don't like fat people, you don't like fat kids, and you really don't like Oprah Winfrey.
Well, I think you have none of that correct, so let's set the record straight as you said at the outset. First of all, I don't like or dislike fat people. People are people. You like them as individuals or you don't. And I don't dislike or like fat kids. Kids are individuals. You like them or you don't. But the fact is I do believe that making kids fat is clearly nutritional child abuse. And if you look at the legislation, the federal legislation and state legislation, it talks about child abuse and neglect clearly. These are abused, neglected children. And I don't know Oprah, so I don't know whether I like her or not. I do know that she's dangerous, in my opinion. I do know that she breaks the law, in my opinion. I do know that she goes against FTC regs, in my opinion. And she causes harm to any of a number of people. And it's my humble opinion that if you happen to do crooked stuff, which in my opinion she does, then it makes no difference whether you're a billionaire or you're a poor person who's doing crooked things. It's just that the billionaire can do it with a little bit more panache.
And by the way, we should point out that Dr. Michael Applebaum is in Chicago, mere miles away from Oprah Central, and is the guy behind, amongst other websites, jailforoprah.com, which is...
Right, and at Jail for Oprah, what I do is I make the case. I filed FTC complaints about Oprah and her weight loss experts, and people can go to jailforoprah.com, and they can read the filings and see whether or not there is a case there. These happen to be my opinions based upon my understanding of the law and the science of weight loss.
And you've written an awful lot about weight loss. You had a great book called Why Diets Fail, The Guide to Healthy Eating, the official I Hate to Exercise diet book. If you boil it down to, you know, a couple of reasons for this nationwide epidemic, you know, what would they be? Would they be inactivity? Would it be fast food? What, you know, what's
It's only one reason, one reason only. The nationwide epidemic of overweight and obesity is caused by more calories in than out, and that is it. There is nothing else. Nothing else at all. It is just more calories in than out, and if people consumed fewer calories than they burn, everybody would lose weight because it's a law of the universe, it's a law of physics, it's the first law of thermodynamics. No matter what kind of a creature you are, if you feed it fewer calories, it is going to lose weight as long as it doesn't burn less than that. Period. End.
If you'd like to be a part of the show today, if you have a weight loss question or another question for Dr. Michael Applebaum, phone number is 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. All right, so it's all about calorie intake, so nothing else matters. What's the answer? What's step one if you see a patient who needs to lose 50 pounds? What do you tell them?
Well, it's the balance of calories in versus calories out. And clearly, the absolute most efficient way to lose weight and the absolute most fundamental skill that somebody has to own is caloric intake control. And there's a very good reason for that. It's the most efficient way to go. So, for example, if you're a big, fat, overweight person, you're going to try to, let's say, cut 100 calories out of your day by exercising, and exercise is a fool's game when it comes to weight loss. But if you're going to do that and you're going to travel 1 mile on foot, which on average means you're going to burn 100 calories, this is what you have to do. You get up, you put on your exercise clothes, you go to where you're going to exercise, you do your 1 mile, you take off your exercise clothes, you shower, you put on your civilian clothes, you go back from where you went to exercise, and then you spend the rest of your day. To burn 100 calories, that took you about 60 to 90 minutes. And if all you did was switch one soda that had sugar for one without, it would take you zero time. You would have cut down 120 to 150 calories, and you would have been substantially more efficient.
Now, clearly you're not saying that exercise is, you know, there's no benefit in exercise. What you're saying is it's not the way to go in terms of weight loss.
Exercise is an idiot's game for weight loss. Exercise is extremely inefficient, and exercise will almost never improve fitness. If people are interested in engaging in physical activity in order to improve their fitness, they have to train. And training is different from exercise. Exercise is simply placing a demand on one of the two energy-producing pathways of the body, but training is placing a demand on one of the two energy-producing pathways of the body, which would be aerobic and anaerobic, with the realistic intentionality of increasing their capacity. So it's the difference between if you want to get smart and you're confronted with a page of text. If you just skim the text, you're not going to absorb enough information to get smart, but if you actually study the text with enough intensity, you will get smarter. If you're going to train, you're studying the text in this analogy. If you're doing exercise, you're wasting your time because you're just skimming it.
When you see that Dr. Applebaum shows like The Biggest Loser, which is a huge hit on television, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's a waste. First off, many, many people don't have months to spend sequestered in a home away from their jobs and family and friends in order to lose weight. Most people don't end up with $250,000 or whatever the current prize is for Biggest Loser for losing weight. And most people don't have the opportunity to kill as much time as these people do trying to do what they're doing. It's insane. And the fact of the matter is that any of a number of people who've been on this show have regained their weight. And the fact of the matter is that nobody sustains a lifestyle like that because people have to do things like live a life. So it's a bunch of crap.
Not short on opinions, Dr. Michael Applebaum is talking to us about weight loss, and he's written several books on the subject. He has something called the Gourmet-O-Matic that we can check out online in just a couple of minutes. So if you'd like to talk to the doctor, our number is 718-506-1944. What's your beef with Michelle Obama?
You mean the fact that she's an idiot, or beyond that?
Now listen, look, don't sugarcoat it. Tell me how you really feel.
Look, this is the way it works. This whole national school lunch program stuff is a bunch of garbage. If you look at the government's own data, you'll find out that the national school lunch program has in fact not met federal guidelines for nutrition, but they haven't met federal guidelines because they don't serve enough calories. Got that? So the federal guidelines want school lunches to serve even more calories than they have been serving. This has been an issue, if you want to call it an issue, since at least 1998. There's something called the School Nutrition Dietary Assessment where this information is available to everybody. And if you are thinking that school lunches are making kids fat, you have to be a moron, because the fact of the matter is it's not school lunches, and you can't make people fat from eating too many calories on a population basis we're talking about. There may be a couple of individuals who are eating too many calories in school. The problem is not the calories in school. The problem is the calories that people consume outside of school. It's a home issue. It's a parental issue. It is not a school issue. There is no such thing as a healthy food. Healthy foods change from week to week. Antioxidants, have been shown to cause cancers, have been associated with no benefits whatsoever in cardiovascular disease. You have things like nitrates and nitrites in meat, which were supposedly causing cancer a few years ago, that right now apparently exert protective effects on the heart. We would not know a healthy food if it bit us in the face. The bottom line to all of this, if we're talking about nutrition and health, and fitness, incidentally, is the only real preventive medicine, and one of the three types of fitness is nutritional fitness. If you're interested in health and its relationship to fitness, I'm sorry, to nutrition, then all you care about is body mass index. If you maintain a body mass index between 18.5 and 24.9, your likelihood of developing certain bad illnesses is at the very least. And that data happens to be really good data. So this whole thing that Michelle Obama is doing, and this idea of healthy schools, and this idea of trying to get more quote-unquote healthy foods in the neighborhoods, these are not scientifically proven points. What these are political ideologies, and it just simply will not work.
Our guest is Dr. Michael Applebaum, and he is talking about weight loss and what works, what doesn't work. He has pretty controversial stances, and we've got a call on the line now. It's Ben from Delaware, and let's see if we can bring him into the program. Hi, Ben. You're on the air with Dr. Michael Applebaum.
Hey, doctor. Quick question.
Ben,
I'm doing excellent. I work two jobs, so I'm out of the house about 14 hours a day. So I got a couple of kind of quick questions. Diet soda, good or bad for me?
Depends. It's a risk-benefit thing. Some people think that the sugar substitutes are not good for you. If you happen to be overweight and you need to shed a few calories, then it's good for you. I mean, it depends. I happen to not mind diet foods, although branded diet foods for weight loss programs, like let's say Zone stuff or 3-Hour stuff, in my opinion, those are clear scams, because most of the problems that you have with diet programs is that diet programs have people consuming about the same number of calories or less than the Nazis fed people at Dachau, and nobody's going to be able to sustain that. So it makes no difference what kind of supplement or what kind of products you buy. An unsustainable diet is an unsustainable diet. It's like trying to accessorize a perpetual motion machine. The machine itself is impossible, so why are you trying to accessorize it? But food that has sugar substitutes.
Stay away from diet soda and regular soda, or if the choice is between the two, go with the diet soda. What do you think?
I happen to think diet soda is okay. You know, I mean, we're all going to die. You know, and I don't think that the data is so compelling that, for example, sugar substitutes kill you any faster than anything else out there. So I'm fine with diet sodas.
Okay.
And the second question.
Yeah, with me being out of the house for so long, what's the healthiest fast food choice that I can make?
Well, that's the problem with the conversation about weight and health in the U.S. Here's the problem, actually globally. The problem is that health is not related to the food that you eat per se. Health is related to the results of eating that food. So if your body mass index goes above 18.5 to 24.9, below 18.5 or greater than 24.9, excuse me, then in that case, you are not eating healthily. Healthy eating is whatever eating gets you between 18.5 and 24.9. So if you want to have a fast food burger, or you want to have a fast food sandwich or a fast food chicken, if your body mass index is between 18.5 and 24.9, we don't know that you aren't any healthier or less healthy than somebody who got there eating boneless, skinless, free-range organic chicken breasts. We just don't know that. But we do know that on a population basis, if you maintain that range of body mass index, you are at your healthiest. And that's
so
as smart
really
as we are.
It's a matter then of counting calories for Ben. He doesn't need to cap it out at a certain number of calories. It really comes down to that body mass index.
That's correct, and you don't even need to count calories in order to do that. That's another thing. Although if you are a calorie counter, then clearly fast food from the major chains is one of the best things to eat, because if you, for example, go to a McDonald's anywhere in the world and you get a Big Mac, that thing's got 540 calories. So if you want to cut down 125 calories per day, for example, cut that thing into four, throw away or give to some poorer person who needs the calories, one quarter of it, and you've cut back 135 calories with near certainty. Once you start cooking things in your kitchen, which actually I like to do, but once you start cooking things in your kitchen, you don't have as good control over the total number of calories in a meal. So if you're serious about it and you do fast foods, then find out what the caloric content is and just cut away a quarter of it, and that way you'll know how many fewer calories you're consuming.
Very good. All right. Ben, thanks for the phone call.
Thank you.
Good luck, Ben.
Let's talk about cooking in the time we have left. And tell me about this Gourmet-O-Matic plan that you have. And there's a lot of information about it on the website. But tell our listeners exactly what this is and how O-Matic is the Gourmet-O-Matic.
The Gourmet-O-Matic is very O-Matic. It's a derivative of a book I wrote called The Fitness Med Guide to Healthy Eating, which is a meal strategy guide. And basically, the meal strategy guide has protein as its central type of food, which means the entree. And if you think about proteins, they're basically pretty much the same wherever you go. So, for example, chicken is chicken, whether you Vesuvio it, Parmesan it, Tandoori it, or Almondingit. So the difference is among entrees of the same protein type boils down to sauces and spices, and then what you put around the plate in order to complete the meal. So the Gourmet-O-Matic basically takes these concepts and makes it very, very simple through a series of substitutions so that you can create new and unique meals. Using the Fitness Med Guide to Healthy Eating, you can create trillions of different meal combinations. And the gourmet, and the book actually gives ingredients and proportions and recipes as well as other information about food and cooking. But the Gourmet-O-Matic sets out the principles. So if people are interested, for example, in making a salsa as a side dish, a salsa is a very simple thing. There's an equation to a salsa. A salsa is a hot pepper of some sorts with some sort of acidic fluid and a Mexican flavor with vegetable or fruit added. Very, very simple. So if you go to the Gourmet-O-Matic site and you look in the salsa substitutions guide, you'll find different types of hot peppers, different types of acids, different types of Mexican flavorings, different types of vegetables and fruits, and you can combine. It's almost like a one from column A, one from column B, two from column C, however you choose to do it. So you can make a cranberry orange salsa. You can make a red bell pepper cucumber jicama salsa. And you can put all these different things by just, it's a checklist. Even, you know, people who know the website, they print off the page has little boxes with different ingredients, and then there are substitution guides for different types of ingredients. So, for example, there are different vegetables that you could use in a separate area, list them, different types of fruits, different types of sugar substitutes or sweeteners, different types of acidic fluids, because basically, as human beings, all we have are four basic agreed-upon tastes. We can taste sweet. We can taste sour, we can taste salty, we can taste bitter. Bitter is not part of Gourmet-O-Matic because most bad things that you consume are bitter. Bitter is a protective mechanism. Salt is not a big deal in the Gourmet-O-Matic because salt, well, you know, there are some health issues concerning salt. So we don't deal with much with playing with salt. Salt to taste. But you can certainly have a lot of room in playing with the acids and playing with the sweets. And if you look at each of these things, and there are three major types of side dishes, there are chutneys, there are relishes, and there are salsas, that these are basically different proportions of very, very similar ingredients to create different culinary experiences. And going through the Gourmet-O-Matic, by picking and choosing from the different categories, you can make many, many trillions of different meal combinations. It's a piece of cake, really.
So you're saying this will make things easier rather than more difficult, because in many cases these diet plans and menu books that you pick up to try to help you eat healthier, they're just a pain in the butt and they're difficult.
Oh yeah, no, that's why I did the O-Matic part. Look, if you have a quote unquote healthy meal that you think you like and you want to do something with it that's different, you can make relatively minor changes by using quote-unquote more exotic ingredients as substitutions in order to develop a whole new culinary experience. If you think about it, if you even go to Food Network and see something like Iron Chef or Chopped,
right,
people use basically the same concepts over and over and over again. It's just that they use ingredients you haven't thought to try. And the Gourmet-O-Matic makes these substitutions available to people in a very simple format. So if they liked a mango chutney, they can easily change that into a papaya watermelon chutney. Very, very simple.
And if folks are interested in the Gourmet-O-Matic, they can find that where?
Gourmet-O-Matic.com.
Very good. Michael Applebaum is a doctor based in Chicago who has some very interesting thoughts on weight loss and health, and we sure appreciate you being on the air with us today, Doctor.
Thank you for the opportunity. My best to you and your listeners.
Gourmet-O-Matic.com is the website. Take a look. Thanks for listening.
You know
today.
I love that organic.
Berk Allen,
always asking more. And they call me Mr. Natural. On down to the health food store. I only eat good sea salt, white sugar don't touch my lips. And my friends is always begging me to take them on macrobiotic trips. Yes, they are. But at night I take out my strong box, then I keep under lock and key. And I take it all to my closet where nobody else can see.
I open that lid so slowly, take a peek up north, down south. Then I pull out a hostess Twinkie, and I pop it in my mouth.